It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Literacy makes a huge impact on our communities. And in our state alone, according to the statewide advocacy organization Wisconsin Literacy, 1.5 million people need help building literacy skills. That might mean getting help to understand short, simple sentences or in calculating numbers and multi-step math problems. Join in on adult literacy, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Connie Heidemann is executive director of the Marathon County Literacy Council. Connie, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Thank you. And thank you for having us.
Yes. Michelle Erickson here as well, executive director of Wisconsin Literacy. Michelle, welcome back.
Thank you. Pleased to be back here.
Well, Michelle, let's start with you. Your organization says 1 in 7 Wisconsin adults struggle with low literacy. What is that struggle like?
Well, that struggle really shows up on a spectrum of skill sets. And so it ranges from adults who are learning English to Americans who are really maybe learning the alphabet for the first time as adults or learning to read. And that spectrum carries through to adults who are well-functioning, but perhaps need better English skills, or perhaps they need to improve their computer skills to get that job promotion. Perhaps it's adults who maybe got through part of high school, but didn't complete high school and really need that credential in order to find, you know, to obtain a job or improve their job situation. So it really is a spectrum of skill sets that that adults struggle with that are looking to community-based literacy agencies to improve on those skill sets.
So a wide range of issues there. Connie, how can low literacy affect a person's life?
We see just about everything from people being anxious and not being able to see and understand, or they see, they don't understand everything that might be happening at work or even in a certain conversation that is a little bit higher level. But we also see the people who are very capable, who are new, coming to our country, who had very high level jobs and often have very high degrees, and are unable to understand all of the American system and how it's set up just because they don't understand the language and the symbols that we use. We see so many people that can't get different positions in their job or things that they're qualified for because they didn't get their high school diploma. We see people that are driving without a driver's license because they can't take the test because they don't understand the American language, even though they know very well how to drive. So it really is all the spectrums that Michelle was talking about.
You mentioned immigrants and your group helping immigrants and refugees learn to read and write English. A recent example, Afghan refugees resettling in Wisconsin. What is skill building like for these groups who are new to the U.S. And this is not their first language?
I was totally amazed that the men were able to speak as much English as they could. And we went to go pick up some furniture in an old warehouse type building. And the gentleman that was with me, who was going to be doing all the carrying and stuff, had only been here for 2 days. He was standing there staring at the wall. And I asked him what he was looking at. And he had been a top architect and was looking at how all of the plumbing and all the wiring and the basic stature of the building. And this was a man that wasn't dressed very fancy at the time because he had just gotten here and it was the clothes that were given to him to be westernized. And he understood and knew so much more than I did. And some people aren't giving credit or understanding the people that are coming here and the high level that they're at. I have a lady that can't speak much English at all. She's starting to say names and good morning. And she is an excellent seamstress and cook and wants to start a bakery. And that's what she had done back at home. So we because of the language barriers, we are not seeing the skills and the things that they can provide for us, which are going to be just fascinating and giving us so much more in our cities.
I think Michelle Connie is bringing out how we stigmatize, perhaps, that we think low literacy means low skills, and that is not necessarily the case. What would you say there, Michelle?
Well, totally agree that that is something that is often, you know, mistaken in terms of abilities of, you know, new arrivals to our country and the skill sets that they bring with them from their native countries. So it is, you know, often in community-based literacy agencies where they're in a place where they can work one-on-one with a tutor and start to share these skill sets, these hopes, these dreams, how they want to assimilate and have that kind of personal attention to grow and learn the language, to learn customs and to assimilate to America. And the one really nice thing about community-based agencies is those individual one-on-one relationships or small group settings allow that to happen, and, you know, in a really, really nice way. Many times our tutors are sharing their families and customs with new arrivals and vice versa. And so we just all become that much richer in culture and learning and understanding.
We're talking about teaching literacy skills for adults with Michelle Erickson, their Executive Director of Wisconsin Literacy, Connie Heidemann, Executive Director of the Marathon County Literacy Council in Wausau here as well. You can join in at 800-642-1234. You know, Michelle, I've seen that there have been reports of waiting lists to get help through literacy tutoring. What can you tell us about wait times, or are there a lack of volunteers? What is the waiting list situation?
Sure. Currently, right now, at the end of our fiscal year, we had a waiting list among our 71 agencies that we're serving. We have a waiting list of about 1,800 adults that are looking for tutoring or services at different agencies. So I would say since the pandemic, our number of volunteer tutors has decreased statewide. It's been very hard. We have really tried to flip the model of service delivery in adult education through the pandemic. So much of our work is digital. That has worked for some volunteers. It hasn't been easy for others. And Wisconsin Literacy is working really hard on a digital literacy initiative, not just for students to be able to access class instruction and tutoring instruction, but also for our program volunteers, tutors, staff even, that are learning new modalities to deliver literacy services. So there is a waiting list, and we're hoping that people will think about how to, you know, make a difference in their own community, become a tutor. You don't need to have English, you don't need to know another foreign language to work with someone that speaks another foreign language. Or again, our American students who are looking to obtain a GED credential, you don't have to be a teacher or instructor. But our agencies all offer tutoring training, and we're embedding digital skill learning into that tutor training. So that's a way to help reduce that waiting list.
Connie, what do you see in central Wisconsin at Marathon County Literacy Council? Are there people waiting to get tutors?
Not as many as there are in the southern part of the state.
Okay.
But we do have some that are waiting for specialties. If we have some particular math issues going on, we don't have as many of our math tutors. We do have a great financial literacy program, but we have other support systems within the city so that we are able to lean on others for that. Michelle was talking about the digital. We have really been getting into that more so after COVID than during COVID. And we have been reaching out to Abbotsford and a few other places where we don't have an actual physical program right at the moment. And we have the Hope Center, who is having a lot of their Hispanic workers actually going through the program with some of our Hispanic tutors, and they will share with you some of the statistics on that later in the program.
When you say the digital, do you mean online tutoring or do you mean help with computer skills?
Both.
Both. Okay.
Both. We are seeing both because all of your driver's license skills and things like that are all on the computer, but yet we're able to tutor from a distance, quite a ways away, and still do one-on-one or small group. So both digital.
Connie Heidemann leads the Marathon County Literacy Council. It's based in Wausau. Michelle Erickson here heads up the statewide advocacy organization for literacy resources called Wisconsin Literacy. Join in on literacy programs, materials, a wait list, volunteerism in this area. 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We dig into adult literacy and the need here in Wisconsin. Nationwide, there are roughly 43 million Americans who could benefit from adult education. That's according to the U.S. Department of Education, which announced a $1 million effort recently to develop digital career navigation tools for adult learners to expand equitable access to careers. Join in on adult literacy, your experiences receiving it, or as a volunteer, 800-642-1234. Michelle Erickson leads the statewide advocacy organization, Wisconsin Literacy, and Connie Heidemann is executive director of the Marathon County Literacy Council in Wausau. Let's bring in Catherine now in Washburn. Catherine, you're a special needs educator.
Well, actually, I'm a volunteer parent leader for the state of Wisconsin.
Okay.
Through the Wisconsin Facets organization, which is special needs advocacy for the state of Wisconsin, and have been so. And so we get to these points of this is always an issue, literacy. And what I wanted to bring forth was some of the we share experiences. When kids get to the age of about second grade, yes, we are supporting them in their struggles in learning to read, but there are all kinds of challenges and barriers for them. However, it's right about the same time where they also need to read in order to learn. Mm-hmm. And so there it is at that Department of Public Instruction, a department that is access to instructional materials so that they can receive instruction in an alternative format to meet them where they're at. And disabilities, we meet people where they're at, not where we think they need to be. And at that point, they need access to instructional materials at the same rate as other students. So we use a combination of speech to text, text to speech.
Mm-hmm.
Electronics, there are OCR readers that are able to read almost anything, and you can put it into these technologies and you can print it out in different languages, and your speech to text and text to speech can be adapted as well.
Catherine, I think you bring up such a valuable point here, and I want Michelle to respond because you see so many literacy resources. What about assistive technology that Catherine brings up and the potential for translation apps?
Yeah, those are becoming more relevant in agencies that are working with adults with disabilities and children too. We have programs that are supporting focused on specific learning disabilities all across the learning spectrum. So from severe learning disabilities to mild disabilities that require assistive technology. And again, something that needs to be incorporated, something that often requires financial resources also to embed those in programming. And I'm really glad to hear about this advocacy agency around assistive technology for kids because it can make all the difference in the world. some of our agencies that specifically work with dyslexia and the technologies that they're able to use to help students interpret and just, you know, read with much more ease than without that technology. So glad to hear that that is happening in public schools and in our agencies as well. It's becoming more of a need, specifically with our agencies that focus on learning disabilities.
I want to look more closely at funding and what is needed to bring forth these programs. And Connie, you first, the Marathon County Literacy Council accepts donations and you have a robust volunteer network. Do you have enough funding to meet the demands?
No, we do not have enough funding. One of our strongest supporters recently passed away, so we are definitely looking for sponsorship. We are looking for somebody to help us lead a very good fundraising program for the Literacy Council, and we're always looking for donations. We get a lot of books and things, but we actually need a little bit more of the cash flow for our physical needs that we help give to all of our clients.
We're talking about teaching literacy skills for adults with Connie Heidemann, Executive Director of the Marathon County Literacy Council, Michelle Erickson as well, Executive Director of Wisconsin Literacy. Michelle, in September, DPI, Department of Public Instruction, awarded Wisconsin Literacy an $83,000 grant to develop adult, family, and workplace literacy systems. How are you spending those funds?
Those funds have been with us for a long time. Department of Public Instruction has been a very loyal and consistent supporter of Wisconsin Literacy through the Wisconsin Adult Literacy Program that is part of their work. And we use those funds to help support our 70 local agencies. So with that many agencies, you can see how quickly that $83,000 goes. But we actually are able with those funds to support local programs that need things that are just not in their budget and not able to be in their budget. So things like professional development for staff to be able to take advantage of professional development opportunities, all the way down to language dictionaries or curriculum resources that the students need. So we have a regional staff that helps interpret those needs at each local agency. And they work in 5 regions of the state and they get to know the needs of the local programs. And with that Department of Public Instruction funding, along with other state funding from Department of Children and Families and Department of Workforce Development, and now Department of Administration, where we're trying to leverage the funding for digital literacy skills, we are again looking at how Wisconsin Literacy as an advocacy agency can pass through some of that state funding to our local program member needs.
How dependent are these local literacy programs? How dependent are they on volunteerism?
Very much so. That is that's the lifeblood of our coalition, and that the one-on-one approach to literacy for adults is something that is, most of our adults come to us with, having had challenges in traditional K-12 education sometimes, or if they come from another country, maybe not having had, a traditional educational experience, or as Connie mentioned earlier, some of them with, advanced degrees. So it's a whole spectrum, but I think having that more intimate relationship with a tutor really, really helps bring out, meet the student where they're at. And then our other, our urban programs have class instruction as well, but the volunteer is just critical in our model of service delivery, and it really makes a difference in how people can feel comfortable accessing education. If you're an adult that's not reading, and you realize this decoding skill is something that kids are learning in first and second grade, and you might be 35 or 40 and not have that skill. There is shame in that for people, and it's very hard to come forward. And to know you could come forward into a literacy agency where there's confidentiality and you can work in a one-to-one setting, I think really makes a difference for how people are able to come forward. And those volunteers make that happen. They're all professionally trained volunteers and can make a huge difference in a person's life.
Michelle Erickson, Executive Director of Wisconsin Literacy, Connie Heidemann with us on Adult Literacy from the Marathon County Literacy Council. Join in 800-642-1234. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Literacy tutors help adults improve essential skills in reading, in writing, math, often volunteer tutors working one-on-one. I was an adult literacy tutor for a couple years in Philadelphia, and I found that one-on-one experience extremely rewarding to help a person, new to America learn to read English and develop a really lasting friendship with them. Join in 800-642-1234. We have Michelle Erickson, Executive Director of the organization Wisconsin Literacy with us, Connie Heidemann, Executive Director of the Marathon County Literacy Council. Connie, have you been able to keep your volunteer literacy tutor lists, whole in the pandemic? How has volunteerism been in these times?
No, the actual list of tutors declined quite a bit because it's a lot of older people and a lot of people that are that have more time. So they sometimes are, for other reasons, not working. But since the COVID has ended, we are slowly picking up and getting more and more tutors back. So we should soon be back to a normal number. It is getting better. And so are our students increasing all along. So it's kind of matching. Our volunteers and students are kind of increasing at the same time.
Scaling up at the same time. Michelle, you brought up this expanding broadband access under the infrastructure law, and that there could be possibilities to use some of that, and WPR reports Wisconsin may receive up to $1.2 billion in federal funding for broadband infrastructure. What could be possible through that with digital literacy activities?
Oh, so much. It's really exciting to hear news about the broadband initiatives that are going on in Wisconsin. And our focus really is on a second part of that is the skill building. So access is one part of this and issue, because it is very difficult and for many people in different parts of the state to have that, or even people where it's accessible but not affordable. And then there's this other side about capacity and the actual digital skill building that is needed in populations that just haven't had access, haven't had experience with computers. And so our focus is really on that second part of skill building, digital skill building, so that when access is available, we have, upskilled our client population in those really critical skills. Wisconsin Literacy has a health literacy division where we have learned during the pandemic the just critical importance of digital health literacy skills. So how do you get on a computer and have a telehealth visit? How do you access your portal? Because maybe that's the way you're going to find out how to get a vaccination or, information from your doctor about your care. And health portals right now are a way that health systems have really leaned into given the pandemic to communicate with patients. And I see that those areas in health literacy are really only going to carry forward. We probably won't ever go back to the way in which healthcare was delivered traditionally, and that systems will be relying more on digital skills of their patients to access health. So our division is working in that area as well to build the skills of providers to help patients navigate those digital skills. So we're excited about the broadband, but really focused on building skill sets so that we're ready to go when broadband is more accessible.
And Connie, one of the areas you do offer tutoring is in health literacy. How do you go about teaching health literacy?
We have been very fortunate. For the last 2 years, we have gotten CHIP workers through the UW Medical College, and they are with us during the summer, and they have made booklets. They've reached out to different agencies. They have made flyers. They've made handbills to hand out so that the people have a choice of where they go. A lot of times when you get sick, you don't know immediately which agency to turn to, or, you know, who handles which illness. And the booklets give you the phone numbers, the emails, the names of some of the professionals. And we have all of this for free, and we try to get it out to the public as much as we can.
And when you say CHIP, are you talking about Medicaid and Children's Health Insurance Program? Is that what you're referring to?
Community Health Internship. It is a community health internship program.
Okay, sure.
So it's actually the students over the summer getting credit for college. So they teach us and they work with us to make sure that we are understanding all of the immediate and the newest health procedures.
Michelle, you know, you even separate out health as its own standalone literacy under the umbrella of your organization. So you have Wisconsin Health Literacy. Why separate health literacy from everything else your organization does?
Well, really, it's one of four focus areas that we work in. And actually, I'm going to say five focus areas, because digital literacy is becoming its own. It's growing so rapidly, and the need is so great that digital literacy is another focus area we have emphasized this year. But we also work, advocacy is one of those, workforce readiness and workforce connections is another, and then our member agencies and the communities that they serve is the other focus area. But health literacy does have its own division, which is a little bit different in that we have seen the need for our students understanding health information. It's hard to learn if you're not well, right? And as students come with concerns about health, questions about accessing the system, our health system, it's a complicated health system. And our work really focuses on reducing that gap between how health information is communicated and the ability of all of us, not just people that struggle with reading challenges, but all of us to really access it and understand it and act on it. And there's really two sides to this. This is the side of the patient, the individual health literacy skills, but then it's also organizational health literacy, where health systems and health providers need to also do their part in communicating that information in ways that all of us can understand it. And that's the challenge, and that's really the focus of our work. So we train healthcare providers in delivering that information and understandable, clear, plain language ways. And we also build communities' skill sets around accessing and understanding health information.
The communication piece, so important there. Michelle Erickson, Executive Director of Wisconsin Literacy, with us. Connie Heidemann, Executive Director of the Marathon County Literacy Council, as we talk about teaching literacy skills for adults, the different sectors of literacy. And you can join in 800-642-1234. Connie, I want to bring up citizenship tutoring, because the citizenship test, so important for immigrants who want to take it. And this is the immigrants' knowledge of U.S. history and government and given during the naturalization interview. How do you go about helping prepare your adult learners for that civics test?
They are so excited to be in America, and they really try very hard to understand and figure out what's going on. They can't do the citizenship right away, so they've already got the basics of what life is like in America from their first couple of years. Then when they come to us, the fees are just overwhelming in trying to become a citizen. So one of our first things is trying to get them to even start, which has just been raised. I can't remember right now if it was $1,500 or $1,800 that they have to get together just to even get their application in. Then we have history books, we have citizenship books, we have a lot of different books on different things that they may not know. Everything is online nowadays, so that we can, if their computer skills are up to it, we can just go online and keep practicing the test also as it varies. The questions change regularly. But they are finding that the biggest drawback is fees, which is taking us back into our community and trying to find reasonable ways to access and get through the whole program. WASA itself does not have a main place to go to, so we either have to go down to Milwaukee or we go over to Chicago or to Minneapolis. And we actually do our main testing.
Michelle, what comes up for you in the area of citizenship tutoring?
Well, another critical area, you know, our students are wanting to assimilate and become citizens of this country and working very hard to understand the language to take the citizenship test. Our programs have tutors as well as just citizenship instructors that work to make this happen. And I have been to Milwaukee where students are able to go at the culmination of their testing to become a citizen. And there is nothing more moving than to see how people really, you know, give up their natural born citizenship in a country and become American citizens. That's quite something. And it is really quite moving to see their passion and their excitement, their hopes that this is a point in their life that they are going to be able to, you know, change, make a difference, and do those things that they've wanted to do. And so it's an important part of our program, and resources that are available for our students and our programs to do that. Wisconsin Literacy is really happy to support those initiatives.
Michelle Erickson there heads up the statewide advocacy network for literacy resources called Wisconsin Literacy. Connie Heidemann, executive director of the Marathon County Literacy Council, here as well as we explore adult literacy, the experience working on this issue in Wisconsin. Still time to talk, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Let's pick up our conversation on adult literacy in Wisconsin. The Marathon County Literacy Council says tutoring English as a second language and computer literacy are high-demand areas. Connie Heidemann is executive director of the Marathon County Literacy Council, is here, and Michelle Erickson leads the statewide organization Wisconsin Literacy. Now let's bring in a tutor, Celine Mejias, with the Marathon County Literacy Council. Celine, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you.
Celine, thank you. Yes, okay, good morning.
To invite us. Good morning, Orden.
You are a tutor. Why are you teaching? Why are you tutoring?
I am tutoring Spanish English as a second language, math prepare people in the GED, United States GED, and also how to use the computer, and how to use the different programs like Excel, Windows, and also we prepare the for people for the driving license test, the theory reading driving license test.
Yes, driving permit as well. You were an engineer in Venezuela, and after you came to WASA, what did you think about? Why did you want it to continue teaching English? Because you were doing that part-time in Venezuela.
I came from to Venezuela. I am an engineer. In Venezuela, I had been working different international business, especially in submarine cable system. So, but, you know, in Venezuela, we have a little problem, financial problem, and some problem over there that I decided to come to United States. I have here my two daughters. One of her live in Florida, and another one live in Alabama. So then I moved to Wisconsin in WASA. And I start to, here in McLean, start to tutoring math, English, and Spanish as a second language. So had been a very nice experience for me to be here and to put my a little knowledge about English and Spanish, other skills for our community in WASA.
When you look at your knowledge that you have and in trying to teach these adults, what is your teaching philosophy? What is your approach?
My approach, I have the following method. For the first thing is, for example, if I teach Spanish, I try to, at the beginning, to the learner of Spanish, to the formal way of greeting Spanish, to introduce themselves, ask for address, our day, and so on. No? The daily thing in that you work on in Spanish. Mm-hmm. But I have also, I introduced the phonic comprehension, because the phonic comprehension is very important for those people who are English and are learning Spanish, because the vowels in Spanish only have one sound, but in English you can find that the vowels have different sounds according in how yes. they are put in. It's true. It's true. So
it's a tangled web in English.
You learn some rule today, another day is another thing. So
another day, another sound. Yes.
See, another sound. But no matter, in Spanish, the vowels doesn't have, or we have the same pronunciation, the same sound. So I try that the English learning get familiar with the sound and combine and the combination of the vowel with the consonant.
Mm-hmm.
Also, is the phonic comprehension. The other things is related with the motivation.
Motivation plays
play a good role, a very important role
in the development.
Study. Mm-hmm. Yes.
I want to just interject here and bring Connie in. Can you explain, Connie, why adult learners are interested in learning Spanish through the Marathon County Literacy Council? Explain that piece.
Well, first, I want to apologize very quickly. The front door was unlocked and Selena's sitting right in the front. So he got interrupted while he was trying to talk and think by a whole lot of people that flooded in all at once. So I apologize to
Selena
and to all of you. Your question was about the
Spanish, about the teaching of Spanish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it amazed me when Celine got started, the amount of people, and working over at Abbotsford and Abbeyland, the first ones that started that were the top business people and the bosses, the managers of some of the Hispanics, and they wanted to be, they saw that the Hispanics were trying very hard to learn the English to make it so they could work easy, you know, the work easier and understand it. And so the bosses decided to jump in and try to learn some of the Spanish, and it became a very great compatible working situation that they were trying to understand each other. And when some of the people around our office heard that he was doing that, some of my actual office volunteers and staff started having Celine and his partner work with them learning Spanish so they could do more with teaching ESL. And when the word got out, now we have people just walking in and asking if they can be learning some of the Spanish. So it has grown immensely, much to our surprise.
Michelle, there's that communication again, that back and forth. But I want to ask you as well about phonics as a literacy tool. What do you see there, Michelle?
I think for adult learners that don't have a strong background in this decoding skill, that phonics for some can be just really critical skill to learn. And so I know there are methodologies and curriculum that some of our programs use that have a really strong focus on learning phonics for that pronunciation and that sound. And English is just an incredibly hard language to learn. We're talking about, you know, two vowel sounds for each vowel. And then you have the English language rules that make that even more complicated in different words. So it's a lot. And phonics has always been a good basis for adult learners, I think.
Well, I appreciate you all for joining us. Connie, Michelle, Celine, thank you for being here and for your work.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us. We really appreciate it. And if I could just add that, you know, Connie has said that, you know, our literacy agencies are always in need of community support. So if you want to change a life, if you want to have an impact in your community, you can tutor, you can advocate to local officials for literacy resources, and you can donate. This month, Giving Tuesday is coming up after Thanksgiving. And it's a great way to support local literacy and statewide literacy. So thank you for thinking about this topic and allowing us to share our work.
Yes, Michelle Erickson, Executive Director of Wisconsin Literacy, Connie Heidemann, Executive Director of the Marathon County Literacy Council, and Celine Mejias, tutor at the Marathon County Literacy Council. We have links to literacy resources at wpr.org/mornings. I'm Kate Archer Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.